Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 92. Let's look at that. Let's start over in Psalm and we'll work our way back here for a few minutes. Psalm 92:1. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name most high." It is it's a good thing to give praise to God. Amen. And David is just declaring here that it is a pleasure. It is a pleasure to give thanks to God. You know, in this day that we live in, and sometimes we're not thankful, we're not grateful for the things that God is doing. Or we're just not generally grateful for things that come our way. We gripe and we growl, and we find all kinds of things that we can complain about. It's so easy to give in to complaining, and it's so easy to give over to that spirit of strife and that complaining spirit, and not be thankful because it is a good thing. And you know, David tells us it's a good thing to give thanks to God. Amen. And I'm going to start here and just read several scriptures here. Psalms, you can follow along. Psalm 105. We'll start right there. And we're just going to read some consecutive. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He's just telling us to give thanks unto the Lord. 106, "Praise the Lord and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever." 107, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever." And Psalm 136:1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." Now, it's not only a good thing and a pleasure for us to give thanks, but it's good for us to give thanks because God is good. And we give thanks because we know that God is good. And we know God is good according to James 1:17. "Every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down to from the Father of lights, from whom there is no shadow of turning." So we know that God is good, so we can give thanks. You know, the world has a bad outlook on God, and they don't think of God. They think of God as the hammer who's going to come down and punish them. But we know that he is a good God. Amen. Here's where I'm going to divert just a little bit. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I hope I can do this. This is not in the notes. But this is the Magnificat, where Mary is making a declaration of God is good. And it's in Luke 1, starting in verse 46. And then we'll get back. We're just going to divert here just a little bit, and we're going to go back to the message. But Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." You know, God, she knew that God was good. I mean, we're talking about a young girl here, possibly 13 years old. And in those days, I guess 13-year-olds got married and had children. But she was in a peculiar situation here. She was unmarried. She was betrothed, but she wasn't completely married to this man yet. And he could, if he chose, to put her up for public stoning, because this, you know, this was unheard of, to have a woman, you know, pregnant before the total consummation of the marriage. And so she was looking at a situation here where it meant her death. It could ultimately mean that she would die. But she knew the goodness of God. She knew what David had said, that God is good and his mercy endures forever. And as Gordon says all the time, as charismatic, we can praise God for 5 minutes. You know, we can stand on the word for 5 minutes. But Mary knew that God's mercy endured forever. Because if I had not been in her, she could never say, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She saw him as God who was going to bring salvation to her, and he was going to save her from this situation. Even though she knew that God put her in this situation, she knew God was going to bring her out of this situation. And too many times, we are not even sure that God has taken us into this situation. We just definitely don't know how God's going to get us out. Because what we do, even if we think God put us in this situation, we start thinking about how we can get ourselves out. Instead of thanking God and saying, God, I know that your mercy endures forever. I thank you, God, that you are my salvation, and you're going to bring me through this situation regardless. This was a tough thing for this young girl. And so she didn't have the word to depend on and look up the scripture and say, what does that say? You know, because we can do that. We can say, oh my, what does the word say about this? She knew deep down in her soul that God was her salvation. And she could be thankful, and she praised God. She said, I declare the greatness of the Lord. That's what my soul magnifies the Lord means. I declare the greatness of God. You know, and only when we're thankful can we recognize the greatness of God. Amen. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. And for behold, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. I mean, praise God. You know, this is definitely the Spirit moving upon her to speak through her, that she can hear the word of God being spoken to her. You know, and it was like reading the scriptures for us. We can find out what God has to say to us through the scriptures, that even though we may feel lowly, we may be in a situation that is poor right at this time, we can say, from henceforth, God will bless me. Just like she said, from henceforth, God will bless me. She was hearing the word of the Lord. She was hearing God speak to her. Praise God. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She sounds like David speaking here, doesn't she? Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, for he is good. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It is a good, you know, we could say, well, what else could she do? What else could she do? You know, but you know what? She could have gone away and hid herself. She could have. She could have gone away, but she chose not to. She decided to stay and let God bring her through this situation. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. She recognized that God was a mighty God, and that he was favoring her and bringing her favor. You know, if we would just every day in every situation that we're in, that we could say, for he who has might is mighty has done great things for me. And he has. Every single one of us in this room tonight, God has done great things. It's not to say that we don't have our troubles. We've all been through those times. But he has done great things for us. Amen. And holy is his name. Hallelujah. Let's just bless him, she said. I'm going to bless the Lord, for his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm and scattered the proud in their imaginations of their heart. You know, one thing about giving thanksgiving, when we are thankful for where we're, it keeps you grounded, because you know where your source is. You know where the goodness has come from. You know that there is no good thing in me. Paul says, there's no good thing in me. And I can say that about myself. There's no good thing in me, but Christ in me is who makes me what I am. You know, and when I let Christ come out of me, like Mary has done here, when I let Christ come out of me, we can honestly say he's doing great things, you know. You know, he is doing great things. He's showing his strength in that. And she can be thankful for that, and we can be thankful for that, because so many times we are proud in our heart and we're not willing to be grateful. And I think it's in Romans. Let's turn there real quick. Romans 1. I think this is it. Yes, Romans 1, I'm going to read verses 18 through 22, I think, here. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. You know, God doesn't do anything that he doesn't reveal it to his people first. You know, he reveals it to his people first. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We are without excuse in our thanksgiving, in our lack of thanksgiving, in our lack of knowledge of there is a God. We can look at all of creation and recognize that there is a God. But in 21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise. They became fools. You know, that's when we are not willing to thank God and be grateful for what he is doing through us and in us, for even the little things in our life, we will eventually become a fool, because the little things will turn into great things. So we need to be grateful for everything that, you know, that we have and what God does. And just like that Mary says, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The imagination of their hearts is that they took the things of God and turned them around and made them futile in their own minds, saying, God didn't do that. We see this all over the world today. People don't recognize God. People don't want to give God credit for anything. You know, they put Christians, Gordon was talking about this today. If you say you're a Christian, well, you better have a good excuse why. You know, because, you know, you're up to some kind of foolishness. It's because they don't recognize, because of the proudness of their heart, the proudness of their imagination, that they are great and they are the ones who do everything. We'll hear people say, I don't need God. I can do this myself. We don't need God. Only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. We know that. And so they've turned those things that God created into foolishness in their own minds. And Mary says here that, you know, that he has scattered the imaginations of their heart, which is a scary thing to think about, because of their proud hearts, their proud imagination. Their imaginations are scattered into further more and more and more of who they are, how great they are, how they have done everything, and less of God, and less of God, and less of God. But Mary, she can say, I magnify the Lord. I declare his greatness. Hallelujah. Because he has done great things for her. Hallelujah. And in verse 52, it says, he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. And we was talking about this today in Sunday school. You know, Kenneth Copeland was saying that the Lord said that the leaders of today, they're nothing. They're, you know, compared, amateurs, that was the word, amateurs. They were amateurs compared to Pharaoh. And who was the other one he talked about? I forget. Not Nimrod. I forget. Abimelech. Yeah, Abimelech. He said that the rulers of the world today were amateurs compared to them, you know. And he brought them down. And Mary's saying here, he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. You know, when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Amen? Amen. He will do the exalting. And that's who we need to wait on to do the exalting. Amen? Because when we exalt ourselves, we're making ourselves mighty above God. And we don't want to do that. Amen. Amen. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And I don't think he's talking about people here with wealth. I think he's talking about people who think in their minds that they know everything that they need to know, that they have all the understanding that they need, and yet he fills us with good things. And what does he fill you with good things? This, you may not be wealthy in riches, but you are quite wealthy in your soul when you have Jesus. Amen? Amen. You have everything that you need. You have the seed to produce everything that your life is going to need when we have Jesus in us. Amen. And that's, God is worthy of praise. Amen. 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 He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Mary could magnify the Lord and be thankful. She could see what God was doing. She could look at this and she could say, I am going to be the carrier for the salvation of Israel. All of the ages, the sages have talked about the one who would come, the Messiah. And God has chosen me. And I'm going to humble myself and be used and thank God for what he's doing. Isn't that a great thing to think about? That she could be thankful in a time of stress, in a time of turmoil. She could be thankful for what God was doing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll kind of pick it up there and kind of bring all this together with that. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is exactly what Mary was doing. She was offering a sacrifice of praise. Now, turn over to Hosea, which is right next to Daniel, down in there somewhere, right before Joel. And also, I want you to turn to Leviticus. I found out something very interesting in this. You know, when we read Hebrews 13, it says there that it's a sacrifice of praise, a continual offering unto him, the fruit of our lips, and a sacrifice of praise to him. What were the words exactly? Let me go back there, pick that up. The sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. So when we see that this is Paul who has grown up in the Old Testament. And so he's talking here about a sacrifice of praise. And Hosea 14, 1 and 2, it says, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifice of our lips. You know, we could put this for the United States today. Go, oh God, you know, help us. America, return to God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. You know, return with your words to the Lord. It's very important what we say. So thanksgiving is very important as we speak and we praise God. And with the sacrifice of our lips, let it be praise unto God. And turn to Leviticus 7, 11 and 12. It says, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. He's talking here of a mix with oil. We see that as the Holy Spirit. But here he says that, you know, the offering of peace is also the offering of thanksgiving. And it's very interesting when you look this up on the, I looked through Judaism 101, and it says this is Zebach Shalama, sacrifice of peace. Jews believe that the sacrifice of peace, the offering of peace, is an expression of thanks and gratitude, and is the only class of offering that will be brought to the temple in the age of the Messiah. Isn't that interesting? Because to us, we are in the age of the Messiah. So this should be the offering that we bring. Now, we don't bring cakes and flour and oil, but we do bring ourselves. And as Paul says in Hebrew, we should bring that sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, to God. And so, this is a sacrifice that God is still requiring of us, that we bring to Him. And I thought that was really interesting, that this, they believe that this will be the offering, the only offering that will still be brought to the temple in the time of the Messiah. And it's a time of peace, which is an expression of gratitude and thanksgiving, especially when things go wrong. And we can look at Mary and we can say, things were really going wrong. In the natural, it didn't look good. Things were going wrong. But she could bring a sacrifice, an offering of praise and thanksgiving, a peace offering, because she knew the Messiah. It was the age of the Messiah. At that point, it was the age of the Messiah. If you believe conception is a time life begins, then the Messiah was already come. And so she was obeying the law, but she was also in the time of the Messiah, just as Paul understood the Old Testament, but he was now in the age of the Messiah. He could say, bring the sacrifice of peace, bring an offering of peace, bring an offering of praise, which is the sacrifice of your lips. And I believe that same requirement is required of us, that we should bring the offering to God. So many times we're just tired, we're lazy, fretful, worried, and people have said to me, how can you just always just be like that? How can you just act like nothing's going wrong? How can you act like that, like there's nothing happening? Because I believe God. Gordon brought this up Wednesday night. I could have looked at David and said, oh my God, he's going to die. But I chose to look at him and say, and I bent down, and whether he could hear me or not, and I said, David, God said, it's going to be all right. And with my lips, I spoke and said, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that nothing is wrong with him. That thank you, God, that everything is going to be all right. And I did. I said, thank you, God, that he's going to be all right, because that's what you said. You said everything's going to be all right. Thank you, God, that everything's going to be all right. And I could look at, and the nurses would throw me out of the room because they would say, he's never going to move his leg. And I'd say, that's not true, David. God said it's going to be all right. And they'd get so mad at me. They'd say, Mrs. Kaiser, you'll have to leave the room now. I'd say, okay. And I'd come back in and I'd say, I don't care what they told you. It's going to be okay. I didn't know if he could hear me or he couldn't hear me. I believed God that he was going to be all right, and that his spirit, his soul, could hear what I was saying to him. And that deep down in, that if I would just keep encouraging him that he was going to be all right, that he was going to make it. And even when they had to go in that second time and operate on that boy, I could say, it's okay. God said it was going to be all right. And so, I would just tell him, I'd just get up real close and I'd say, God said it's going to be all right, David. God is good, even in the circumstances that did not look good. And it didn't look good. It looked really, really bad. When I think back and I remember, because very graphically, how horrible this was. There we were, and the blood is running down the hallway that's running out of this kid's head. He's in the emergency room, and it's running down off the table and running, and how horrible that, like I said, it's very graphic, and I can stand back and think about it now, but I wanted to thank God that it was going to be all right, and even if David had not made it, I could say, thank you, God, he's going to be all right. He's going to be, because God promised, and God does not lie, and God promised Mary, everything's going to be okay, you just hang with me, and we're going to get through this, and it's going to be all right with you. If you just stay thankful for what I'm doing in your life, as long as we stay thankful for what God is doing in us and for us and through us, it will turn out okay. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because God has promised. He's promised these things to us. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians, these are all familiar scriptures for us. And I love this because it said, here we always get, start with 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and we kind of get kinked up there. Well, how do we pray without ceasing? Prayer be on your lips all the time. You know, like Gary said, he prayed all day. It's kind of like when God moved in today, he just kind of, and that's the way I was just like, I would just be thinking of not about the sermon tonight or anything, and I'd just start praying in the spirit. It just felt so comfortable today to do that. So, you know, I prayed without ceasing, and somebody'd say, well, this hurts or that hurts. I would just pray. You know, I'd say, you know, I didn't say, oh, shundaraba, shunkaraba, you know, and lay my hand. I just quietly say, Father, I just thank you that you're healing them, that they're healed. You know, and then he says, in everything give thanks. And that's where we always stop. In everything give thanks. But here it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If this is the will of God, then I think that we should maybe do this. Yeah. Yeah. This is the will of God. I mean, this is not like an option if you kind of think about it once in a while, or you'd like to. This is almost like the Ten Commandments, you know, what part of it don't you understand, you know? it's sort of that way with this being the will of God to give thanks. Or it's not an option. It's the will of God. It's the determination of God. You know, when we think about determination, we think about to be resolute. We're resolute to get that done. But also, if we think about determination, we are determining the boundaries. You determine how far, we've always, parents, determined how far we're going to let our kids go, you know? And this is when he talks about this being his will. Well, God is resolute in this. He is determined. He feels that that it's very important for us to give thanks. Because he likes to hear thanks, like we all like to hear thanks. But also, it puts us into a different level of faith when we thank God for what we don't have. And we've been talking about faith in the last couple Sunday nights, and I saw this is just an act of faith. Thanksgiving is an act of faith. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. No wonder it's the will of God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without thanksgiving, we could almost say it's impossible to please God, because he has determined that for our own well-being, for our own attitude, giving thanks is very important. He likes to hear thanks, but it is also good for us. It causes our faith to grow. Because when you thank God for something that you don't have, you believe and are trusting, as Debbie shared with us several weeks ago, it's a trust and a believing that God will do it. Amen? Amen. So he says here, and also it's that boundary setting area. You know, if it's the will of God, the determination of God. You know, when we are thankful, we don't get out on the edges of thinking it's something that we have done. But God says this is where it'll help you stay within those boundaries of believing me. Amen? Amen. I think giving faith is so important, because it is an act of our faith. It's a believing and acknowledging of what God says is true. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Isn't that interesting? Now we know that now that it's good to give thanks to God. It is the will of God to give thanksgiving, but also it causes our faith to grow. It causes it to abound. That's super abundant faith is abounding. You know, it means super abundant. And so it causes thanksgiving, causes our faith to grow. Because what we are doing, as I said, we are acknowledging what God said was true. Amen? And it's so important for us to give thanksgiving. You know, there are many areas of growing our faith, and being in the Word is one. But thanksgiving is also one. And it's just as important to, you know, make our confession. Sometimes we make our confession of, you know, we start saying the word over and over and over. And that's not bad. You know, the word getting in us is very important. But thanksgiving is also a way to put that word in us, of acknowledging what God has done and what he's doing. And, you know, Mary was doing that to herself. You know, God was speaking through her, but she was letting it minister to her of who God, you know, who God was, that he is great and he is able to do this. He's mighty and he's strong. He lifts the lowly. He brings down those who exalt themselves. And he was telling her, you know, those who are proud in heart, I'm going to bring them down. But those who are of lowly estate and trust in me, if you'll just keep acknowledging that, I'm going to bring you out. I'll bring you to the place that you need to be. Amen. Amen. Luke 17. This particular scripture is about the 10 lepers. The 10 lepers. And we always, let's read that. It's 17, we're going to start 11. And now it happened as he went into Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And when he had entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Mary said, have mercy on me, Lord. And even the scripture that David said, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who would return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Because he thanked God, his faith made him whole. He believed that God, that Jesus was the Lord, and that he had mercy on him. Just as Mary had seen the mercy of God working in her life, he realized that the mercy of God was working in him and was thankful for it. And because he was thankful, his faith in the Lord made him whole. Now, sometimes we'll say his faith made him whole. But a lot of people can turn that and think it's because he had determined in himself that this was a good thing that God had done, or that, you know, it just was something that he conjured to himself. Or sometimes we think that we are our own builder of faith, but it was the faith of Christ in him, the faith of God. It's not my faith. It's God's faith working in me. If it were not for Jesus, he would not be healed. And so he was thankful to God, you know, not, you know, it wasn't like, oh, this would be a good thing to do and then I'll be totally restored. He was thankful for what God had done for him. He saw the mercy of God. And it was the mercy of God, because lepers were turned out. People were not allowed to go around. That's why Jesus didn't go up and lay hands on him. He wasn't allowed to, according to Jewish law. And you say, well, he was God. But he had to still follow Jewish law, because if he had touched these people, he would have been unclean also. And then he would have had to spend days purifying. But he could say, you know, go and show yourselves to the priest. He didn't say, shanda la bakundara ma shanda. He yelled. You know, he didn't do it. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they started to go, they were healed. And this other turnaround. And the same way with the woman with the issue of blood. You know, it was her faith that made her whole. She believed if she touched him that she would be made whole. She didn't believe that if Jesus touched her, she believed if I do something, he, you know, if I can get in his, you know, it to him, it will make me. It was her action, faith of an action that put together. And if we need to put the action of thanksgiving in our mouths, the sacrifice of our lips, is part of building our faith. Just like action builds your faith, the act of thanksgiving and the act on our faith makes us whole and builds our faith. Amen? Amen. 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place, but I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. This is all part of it, so it just kind of goes this way. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times comes, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared by the hot, with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." God has blessed us. But when we receive it with thanksgiving, we believe and know the truth. You know, when we know that God has blessed us and we can thank him for it, our faith will allow us, you know, to grow and to receive from God. When we are unthankful for things, or when we are unthankful, it's hard for us to grow. Because when we are unthankful, we are always thinking about what we didn't get, what we don't have. And I know that this is talking about, you know, certain foods and marriage and the latter times and all of that. But, you know, he says here that he created everything to be received with thanksgiving for those who believe and know the truth. When whatever we receive from God and whatever situation we're in, or whatever we get something, you know, wherever we go, the blessing goes with us. But we need to be thankful for that. Because when we are not thankful, when we receive from God, we'll begin to think that it is our own doing. You know, that I worked really hard and God, you know, well, let's go saying God bless us. I worked really hard and I got this money. Or we saved enough money so we could buy certain things. And after a while it becomes, I did this and we did this and I have this because of me and I worked hard for this. And we're not receiving it with thanksgiving. Because God blesses us with good employment, or God just blesses us with favor, or God blesses us with a gift. We must receive it with thanksgiving because we believe and we know the truth. And what happens is when we don't give thanksgiving, we will eventually be those that in the latter times that depart from the faith because we don't see it as a God gift, but a personal achievement. And we will fall away and depart from the faith because thanksgiving builds your faith. Amen? Amen. Colossians 3. Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing others, one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and giving grace with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In whatever we do, we should give thanks. Amen. And the word of God dwells in us when we are thankful. That's how the word builds in us, because being thankful for what God has done. And he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You know, when you're thankful, the peace will rule.
Yes, it will.
Peace will rule in you. It's just, when I think back about David, peace ruled in my heart because I was thankful that I knew. And I was thankful that God was going to work that out. You know, I knew God was going to work it out. He said he was going to work it out, and I was thankful for that. I was thankful for that God's mercy was being poured out for that boy to save him and deliver him. I was thankful for that. And because of that, the peace of God ruled in my heart. You know, I didn't have to work my faith up. I just let the peace of God rule in my heart through thanksgiving. And that's what all of us need to do in everyday life. We don't have to have tragedy in our life to let the peace of God rule in us. We don't have to have tragedy in our heart to not have the peace of God. I mean, there's people in just everyday life with no tragedy, whatever, and have no peace in their life. And it's partly because they're unthankful and ungrateful for the things that God has done. Amen. Amen. So whatever we do, according to Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You know, if it's the will of God, the scripture says it's impossible to please God without faith. You know, so it's the will of God that we give thanks, because God is good. It is the will of God, and he causes the peace to rule in your heart and your faith to grow when we give thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand. Praise God. We need to be thankful. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory to you, God. Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving. We thank you, God. We give thanks unto you, God, for your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We give you thanks because you are good, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, that you have looked from heaven and you do remember us, God. You see us and you know us, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for your mercy. Oh, we love to give thanks to you, Lord, for it is good and it is a pleasure and pleasant to give you praise and thanksgiving, God. Glory to you, God. Glory to you, God. Glory to you, God. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you. We declare your greatness, God, for you are good. Hallelujah. And your mercy does endure forever. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Father, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that dwells in us, that moves upon us, Lord God, and leads us and guides us. Oh, thank you, Lord God, that you have not left us alone, but you have come and you have seen us as orphans without, and you delivered us and gave us your spirit to make us to be part of the body of Christ, that we would be one with you, Lord, that we would sit in the heavenly places with you, God. You did not forsake us. You have not left us alone, Lord God. You have not forsaken us, Father. Oh, because your mercy endures forever. We praise you and thank you, God. Thank you that you sent Jesus to save us and deliver us from death and destruction. For without Jesus, we would be lost and without hope. And we thank you, Father, for your salvation through Jesus. We give you all praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you.